Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
watch and just look at the number of all these kids going into the big, so precious, huh? So Lord, I ask that you give me your wisdom and discernment as I present your word this morning. I ask that you would bless those in the basement and all these children, that Lord God, they would experience your love for them, and that Father, you have a plan for them, and not only that, but that Lord, you desire to dwell with them, just like you do with us. Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning and that you are good, you know what's best. And so Father, I ask for your guidance, that you would bless this service, bless those that are listening, that we would be encouraged, motivation, and changed, that we would see truly what's going on in the world for what it is, and know that our hope comes from you alone, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you all a question. I've done this before, some of you might remember, but it's important for today's message. So when I ask you the question, we're just going to do this is it. This is the only shenanigans this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. You're all going to answer it at the same time, okay? Fair enough? Don't look to anyone else. Just say what comes to your mind, all right? What is the all-American breakfast? Thank you, right? We all say bacon, eggs, primary. Who told you that? Too soon. Bacon and eggs, right? I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was actually, it wasn't bacon and eggs at one time. It was more or less more like waffles. And I love waffles, and I usually would choose waffles if I wasn't being mindful of my diet or something. And I somehow think protein and everything is better. And so what was came up was a man by the name of Edward Bernays. Do you guys know who he is? You're going to learn today, because a lot of the way you think has been formed by this man. The fact that you said bacon and eggs proves it. And not only did he affect those before you who told you it was bacon and eggs, it's affected everyone in this room, because we all, for an unknown reason, believe it's bacon and eggs. But someone, somewhere along the line, told you that, and you bought it hook, line, and sinker. So he was the father of propaganda, or let's call it a better word, public relations specialist, right? Now, this isn't a conspiracy. This is something that you need to know as a Christian, and trust me, we're getting into scripture, and we're going to see how this all ties in. It's important for you to understand, because just as you saw all of these kids go down to the basement, there are groups and forces that want to shape and form their mind, as well as ours, right? Constantly. So this company that had bacon wanted to get their name out there, and so what could they do? They had to talk about how healthy bacon was for you in comparison to everything else out there. And we need to present some scientific facts, right, to back it up. So all these ads came out, and eventually everybody's, you know what, you're right, I need to take care of myself. I need some bacon, and we need to have some eggs. That is exactly how it happened. So since this person, he lived to be 103, he died in 1995. And he worked for our government. He chose not to work for the Nazis, but the Nazis used a lot of his techniques to shape public opinion. There is power in shaping public opinion. Some people would say, well, the church and you right now are trying to shape my opinion and public opinion. The difference is the motivation behind it. What do I gain? Now, there's all kinds of churches that can gain financially by trying to lie, and you've heard it before, sow your $1,000 seed and God's going to bless you, give me money. We know that if you go to this church, and hopefully as a Christian, even if you're visiting and you came from another church, you would know that that is not Christianity, right? Now, yeah, you got to keep the lights on, you got to do certain things, but there's a difference between manipulating people to take and take and take and trying to encourage and build a community and grow together to help the church grow through action, by doing in your own personal life, where your character backs up what you say, and you're able to do honest self-evaluation and present Christ through your action and your words in the community, in the job where you live, to make an impact. And you know we can make a huge impact sometimes without saying anything, right? So I want to say this because we live in a society right now that over time, how do we respond when the world is presenting these ideas? One, you need to know what the enemy's doing. We don't want to glorify him, but you need to know it's out there. And if you would turn with me first and foremost to Proverbs chapter 12, verses 22. It says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurs out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor, and an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." I read a little more, but the basic is the Lord detests lying lips, right? Now, if you would turn with me to Jeremiah, or put it in your notes, Jeremiah chapter 17. "Through your own fault, you will lose," starting in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength." You know what that's saying, right? Cursed. That's pretty heavy words coming from Jeremiah. Cursed is the man who trusts in human ability and strength, even in leaders, who put your faith in leaders, who look everywhere else for your strength and your sustenance and what you need to survive. Cursed is the one who trusts in men who depend on flesh for his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You see, something happens when we put our trust in something else. You could say you believe in God all day long, you can know scripture, you can attend church, but when your insides begin to not line up with what the word says and you're trusting other things, you eventually do an about face away from the Lord because you're not trusting in him. And let's be honest, it's hard to trust when we don't always get to see what the Lord is doing, at least not right away. It's hard to trust, right? "He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salty land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." So regardless of the circumstances around this tree, metaphorically speaking of us, those who put trust in the Lord, will not have to fear when the world is falling apart. Will not have to fear when things don't seem to line up. Because they put their trust in the Lord, they will bear fruit. Their life will be significantly different, right? And this is the main part. I had to read it all to get to this because it's important. He will not fear when heat comes. He doesn't have fear because he trusts in the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Our heart, yours and mine, is deceitful. It will deceive itself. It is easily deceived above all else, and there is zero cure for it. There's no self-help book for it. There's no program you can go and attend to get a better heart. None of that. You need a new heart, and that only comes through Christ Jesus. A true relationship with God, not a religious idea where I'm going to do the right thing because I feel like I don't want to get in trouble. No, you want to know the Lord because you experience him. You know you're a sinner. You know you can deceive yourself and you're honest and you say, "God, I need you in my life. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but I want to give you my life." That's the most important thing. The gospel message is that God wants to dwell with us. He's made a way for us to restore even the wasted years in our life and give us a new life, a new mindset. But there's still that deception looming constantly to take our direction off of God and put it into something else. As you get older, you realize how fast life goes. You end up where you thought was so far away, you end up there and you realize it wasn't that far after all. You begin to value your time, the decisions you make. You really think it through. You want to make it because you know you don't have a lot of time to make bad mistakes, right? Risks or whatever. You begin more in like, hey, I need to protect. Think about it. The world knows that too. And if it can distract you from knowing who you are in God, and turn your kids against you because they think they know the whole world and got it all figured out and we're all old school and we can't know nothing. We don't even know what we do is break things. Those things are being woven in society through the very things your kids watch in cartoons. And this is, I'm telling you the truth. How many of you watched the Paris thing? That's what encouraged this whole message today. So let's just tell you, you don't think that it's an attack against the faith? I'll show you. I was going to actually put a picture, but we don't need to glorify it. You can find it if you really wanted to. They depict the Last Supper filled with trannies. Even non-Christians are all, that is the most disrespectful thing we have ever seen. And to top it off, they even had a golden calf, not just the head, a golden calf. Why? Because they want to break down the fabric of society for one, because it's easier to be molded into thinking the way that people might want you to think. All in the name of you thinking for yourself. God gives us a wisdom and a discernment that you can't get on your own apart from Christ. And when you begin to see that we are in a spiritual war and it's around us all the time, it does not sleep. It continues to influence. You will realize how easily, if you just thought, I came up with bacon and eggs, wrong. It's that powerful. You can be talked into almost anything if the right things are in place for you to do it. Right? Any of you who are in sales, you know that most of the sales books that are out there is to encourage you to have the power to persuade people. That's why you might go to the store to buy diapers and come back with an F-250, because somehow you fell in line to the persuasion. That's why they have rules on lemon law. You've got a cool off period. Why? Because they know the power to persuade, and we're all vulnerable. We have it in a society now where people would rather, I just don't like him. Forget about his policies. I haven't even read those, but I hate him. Because they don't want you to read the policies, because that's what affects you. You're like, I don't want to go to a church where the pastor's a conspiracy guy. It's not a conspiracy. It's history. Let me read what Edward Bernays said, who has impacted our government and many governments. In fact, he is the father of propaganda, okay? This is what he says. Edward Bernays, often regarded as the father of public relations, argued that shaping public opinion is crucial for the functioning of society. He believed that manipulating the public opinion through media, propaganda, and strategic communication is necessary to control the masses, who he viewed as irrational and driven by herd instincts. Are you cattle? This man thinks so. He told you that bacon and eggs is the all-American breakfast. Think about it. What other perceptions do you have that might not be based entirely on truth? Because deception always has just a little truth. Right? Just enough to manipulate, just enough to deceive. It says the Lord detests those who have false balance, false weight. So when you come in to sell something, that guy would have one that's always in his favor. It says God hates that. Right? You're like, well, why are you picking on? I'm telling you that this is something you need to be aware of, because it's my job and duty to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and show to you, and you go, well, we know. There's some people who don't know. And if you do know, you might not know how we're supposed to handle it as Christians, which is what we're going to talk about. How do we deal with society that mocks Christianity? They're allowed to mock Christianity. God gave them free will to do so, right? And you know what? There's all kinds of things that we'll talk about that we can, but just think about the blasphemy in it. The Lord's aware. What used to be an Olympic event where you would be the best in the entire world, coming against all nations coming together underneath the banner of competition and countries and unified through athletics and sports. That's the Olympics I remember, the Mary Lou Retton Olympics, right? How happy we were. And then last year it came into, let's make it about, you know, stress and anxiety and all these other things because someone couldn't compete. And it slowly began. Now it's just all about, if you got beyond about the best and all these other people at the Olympics, I'm not interested. It's about sports. It's about the best in the world, not an agenda. But it soaks itself in everywhere. And then we're like, well, it's not really my problem. Well, when you look at the interview of people outside, you know how many people didn't think it was an issue? Because most of the people don't believe in God anymore. They don't believe in God. And you go, this is it. If you don't believe in God, now I'll tell you, there are people who have been hurt and harmed by the church, and God loves them. God loves the trannies, the LGBTQ whatever. God loves them. He died for them, just like he died for me and you. But it's okay to be angry, but don't sin. You don't think it was planned a little bit? If you want to discredit Christianity, just bash it a lot, and there's going to be a lot of people out there just proving you right. Well, you're supposed to be a person of love. I do love you. I don't have to agree with you to love you, right? The only thing I can do is not support it with my money. I don't need to watch it because then I'm giving it money. That's what I do. We're not new to persecution in the world. Did you know that? The early church, what happened? In AD 62, I believe, it was, AD 64, a great fire broke out. And you know what they said? Nero wanted to do some land expansion. So what does he do? They say, and this is through outside sources and historians, Tacitus and some others, that he might have lit the fire himself so that he could get some more land. Well, when people were starting to go, oh, why did you do that? Let's look closely at Nero. What does he do? He's like, the Christians did it. And then he put all kinds of propaganda out about how the Christians lit Rome on fire. And it wasn't long before he persuaded people who had no problems with Christians at that time to turn and support the system. And one of the things they would do so bad is some of the most horrific persecution that happened in the world against Christianity was during this time. He actually used burning Christians at the stake for lawn parties while he had big things while people moaned and died in front of everyone. Those are the things that he put out there. And people just went along with it, even if they knew it wasn't right. What were they going to do? This is the kind of society that just believed a lie and ran with it. Look what they did to Jesus. There was no evidence at all against Jesus. You know that. They broke all the rules of court. That's why they took him to Herod, and then they went over here, because they knew it wouldn't work. They needed to get false witnesses to come and lie. It's the same thing back then as it happens today, but we don't want to believe it. We want to put our head in the sand sometimes because it makes us uncomfortable. The truth is, you could be uncomfortable. It's still going to affect you. And as Christians, there's certain things we can do and understand is, one, know who you are in God, know what his promises are, know what it says in the word. We're not to go and hate and throw rocks and stones. Contrary, we are to pray and to put them to shame by our actions. Not, I wish they burn in hell. Probably not. That's not Christ-like. You can be angry, and it says, but sin not, right? You can be angry and go in the room and vent it out, but you are not to turn your anger and use it as a foothold for the enemy. And the enemy knows your buttons, right? How does someone know your buttons? You all have someone that knows your buttons. So when you get upset, what do? They push your buttons? What does that say if the devil knows your buttons? Maybe you're spending too much time in the things and allowing things in your life that do not honor God, and therefore he knows you a little bit better than he should. Right? You guys are quiet. We're still going to talk about how we got the Bible, but I wanted to address the whole Paris situation because it used to be a time it would be kind of small, but now it's at a time that it's just out in the open. It's out in the open. We want to believe in science, and we want to believe in all this stuff, but that we're also saying there's 175 genders. That's the society we live in. There's two genders, and it's attack on the Word of God to say different. Now, I'm a sinner. I'm not judging anyone. Paul said, I'm the biggest chief sinner of all. But if you go on and you start to accept these things and not stand against it, how do you stand against it, Sean? You don't support it. You can be loving and caring, because when that system is proven to not work, there will be people who need to know Jesus. You can still speak the truth in love if they have a heart to hear. And guess what? God softens hearts. And you'll know because they'll ask you questions. We live in a society where everyone wants to know who they are and what they belong to. And the whole time, there's all kinds of things happening. But we have the one way communication with God Almighty through his word and through prayer. And he lets us know about what's going on so that we know how to prepare for it. I got convicted because I still have a Netflix account. And I know for a fact, it makes it hard to cancel Netflix, by the way. It's not a simple go on your phone, cancel. Right? You know why? Because all you have to do is find out what is the main thing that they support. How do I fight back? Not giving them my money. And be honest, I spend more time trying to find something worth watching, and there just isn't. I miss the 80s and 90s movies. I do. Not that there were a whole lot, but it's like so much now. It's like, geez, what am I doing? Giving the devil a foothold. All I have to do is say no, not for me. I don't have to be, I'm not self-righteous about it. I just told you I still have the account. But the Lord's like, what are you doing? Why are you giving them your money? Who's them? You can look in the ideologies behind everything that's on there, and you can know if you're giving them your money. I don't have to tell. Do you feel convicted when you see it? I do. I hope not just the pastor. Right? But we kind of hold on because we like entertainment. We like to be entertained when we're tired and not let our brain think so we can escape in these things. There's nothing wrong with something every once in a while to escape, and as long as it doesn't consume you. Right? And its job is to consume. Yes, sir. Well, I'm exposed it in my life, right? It's easier to tell people what they want to hear, you know? But that doesn't work in real society. Sometimes people get a hard hand that's not fair, and other people seem to get a free ride. It's easy to get lost in all of that and wonder and say, but you know what I do know? Regardless of all the circumstances, all the lives that we can see in the Bible, they were people like me and you. Their story becomes our story in the sense that they share their heartache and their problems and their weakness and their doubt and their struggle, and it's written in these pages for me and you when we have those issues. When we wonder if God is doing anything in society, in the world, why are we losing this battle, right? Look at Habakkuk, same thing. Where are you? Don't you know what's going on in the world today? God does know. But unfortunately, our nation as a whole has turned its back on the truth in God. And what I mean by that is God gave people free will. I'm not here to tell someone how to think. I want you to think for yourselves. You can study the Bible, but if you say, I don't want anything to do it, give yourself an honest look at it and honestly pray and ask God to reveal himself to you. Don't do it based on what people think. Well, it's just a crutch system. Yeah, so are pain pills. If you don't need them and you abuse them, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. We all can self-medicate all day long. I don't care who you are. And you can pretend and say whatever, but where are you at as a person when you're alone? And what do you really believe in? Because this world is fighting over you. And you go, well, what can I do? One, you can pray for these kids that walk down here because it's more relentless now than I've ever seen in my life. And they want to turn the families against each other. It even says in the Bible, father will be against son and daughter. It says that. Why? Because the world will do it. The heart is desperately wicked. We just read it. Who can know it? Did we read it? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's beyond cure. That's the truth of me and you. That's why we need Jesus. Politics will not fix it because politics at the center is man. On either side, it doesn't matter. In the meantime, you pick the side that has the best policies that support the best. You take the lesser of two evils. It's period. And you don't watch the news. You actually read and find out what affects you. That's the truth. That's the truth. If you just hate someone, that's high school. That's high school. And now they're just putting it out there and they just say whatever they want because they know it's easier because truthfully, we do fall into a herd mentality. It's easier to go where everybody else is going because a lot of the time we don't want to think for ourselves. Oh, if I'm here and I'm not present, I'm thinking for myself. I'm gonna go where everyone else goes because it's easy. They did a psychological test not too long ago in the 70s where they had a bunch of lines drawn up and you had a line over here and it was the same size as the line over here and then you had a really tall one and then another almost as tall. And the question was, which line on the left is closest to the one on the far right? Well, these two are the same. So they got to hire a group of people like this. Everybody's in on it but one or two. Everybody knows they're going to say this line the second to the largest. You know what the majority of them did? They went, the one person that when they did the test, and they did it in all kinds of different environments, they actually went with what everyone else said, even though it was different. We become blind. I'm not saying this to discourage you. This should encourage you because the Bible talks about things that are happening in the world. And guess what? God has given us what we need to deal with it. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't need to be worried. We can pray and make an impact in the circle we stand in. And don't support things that you know aren't, don't give your money to things that you know is not supporting the right causes or the right things. And yeah, you got, it's like, well, can you go to the grocery store and support it if they sell alcohol? Yes. The point is, no, it's a case-by-case situation, right? You got to know in your heart, what is your motivation behind doing things? And you can obviously tell there is a whole woke thing being pushed through society and everyone's encouraged to embrace it or you're a hater. And then you have Christians in their, bless their heart, in immaturity in the faith, they don't know what to do, so they show hate. So what do we as Christians do? Turn with me to Peter. Turn with me to Peter. We're going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And just so you know, in 1 Peter, they were going through persecution. Heavy persecution where Christians were falsely being blamed for things they were not doing. On top of that, they were... And I understand, we all know what it's like when you work hard for something and you're doing something and someone comes along and makes a false accusation against you. What's the first thing you want to do? Fight. You want to fight. I do. When you're young growing up and you've been in a lot of fights, you realize it's better to punch first because you'll usually win. How did I learn that? Because I didn't punch first quite a few times, right? We take this initiative to go for, we're going to protect, right? I got off track there a little bit, sorry. So this is what we are called to do in Peter, right? It says, false accusations. So imagine, this is why he wrote this to them, because they were struggling with it. 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God and show proper respect to everyone. Does it say just who you like? How many of you know you need the Holy Spirit to do this? He doesn't expect you to just do it on your own. He expects you to call on him to help you do it. Right? Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. Another one. Because they're like, hey, they're suffering and they're doing good. Hey, we're suffering. It's not fair. Why are we having to go through this hard stuff? We're doing everything we're supposed to do. And it says in chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic and love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. In other words, hey, don't just do what the world does and go back and do that front punch or whatever. That's not what we're to do. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. That's a hard one. I repent of that quite often. And it's not just saying bad words. It would be just how you talk. Saying things that you might not have a full basis just because you're angry. How many of you know we get in trouble when we do that? You can say 100 compliments, and you can say one mean thing, and what do they remember? Yeah. Why do you think that is? Because we're sensitive, even if you don't think you are. You'll remember it, and you'll let those things form and shape your life, which could be dangerous, which is why we need the Lord. Amen? So as we continue, it says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Where do we do it? In our hearts. We set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness. Oh, gentleness. Some of us aren't very gentle. Gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, okay? So that those who speak maliciously, think about malice. They're speaking against you, maliciously. Against your good behavior. In Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And then we have the ultimate example in Christ Jesus, who did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but laid all that aside so that he would go and endure the cross for me and you, knowing that the majority and a large group would reject him. He went anyways. You see, the only way we understand that and have that kind of peace that comes is knowing that God is in control. He's in control of 2024 in America. You go, well, it doesn't look like it. Guess what? He will allow things to happen for a reason, but he is in control. Yes, you should vote. You should do your due diligence. Absolutely. You should read the policies, even on a local level, and do what you can to stay off the evil one and the evil type of things that you know are affecting our society. To say, oh, well, I just don't care. It's just not going to matter. It's going to tear your home apart. That's how the world is. They don't want to stop. They're not going to ever stop. When you remove the goalpost or any boundary post, it's just free will. Right? That's what the society we live in right now. Do what thou wilt. And that is actually the phrase taken from Satanism. Do what thou wilt, be true to thine self. Okay, God allows you to do that, but I don't have to support it. And when you maybe realize that what you're doing is wrong, I want to be the person there that you can ask me a question because you tried to push my buttons and I didn't tell you to go somewhere. And instead, I was just there for when the pieces broke and I helped you put it together. And I told you about Jesus. People notice. People notice. I've had the Lord allow me to have in contact with certain people, and they're hard and sometimes even rude and mean. And later, they tell me something that, hey, you know, they open up to me about something, and I'm like blown away. This is in the secular sense. And I'm blown away, and the whole time God was doing stuff through my actions because I didn't react. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at that. But the times that I submit to him and go, hey, God, help me with this. This guy's kind of a jerk right now. I don't know what to do. Keep showing up. Be kind. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them their name. You know, ask them their name. People want that interaction. We're called to do that as Christians. And there's us, that force that wants to keep you from doing it. Watch what you allow in your homes or your kids to watch. I know how it is. When we went on dates and it's hard to get babysitters. It is. It's really hard. In fact, I was lucky that I had my mom that would happily watch my kids, and me and Michelle took advantage of it. We went through different stages in our marriage. We went through the crazy runaround stage and party and do whatever, and mom has the kids. Don't judge me. All those things, right? And we get through these other stages and stuff. But, you know, it was getting to where it was really hard to have somebody. And you know what? If you're married, you need a date night for your marriage. You know? And it's okay. You can love your kids, but they do take all the energy sometimes when they're little, especially, and they just deplete it. And you still got to maintain, right? So when you have a date night, those things are important to do so that you can strengthen and build your marriage. I was blessed with that opportunity, but a lot of people don't have that. So it's easier just to put them in front of a screen. And I remember we'd have the CD thing, and that was back when CDs, and we put the CD in, because we wanted to have a nice dinner, so we would just put that right there, and the kids could watch that. And eventually, I started feeling like an absentee parent at the table. Right? I'm not saying don't let your, just watch what you allow them to see, because it shapes their opinion, and they don't even know it. Right? Do you believe that? Am I preaching to the choir? Okay. So, I didn't want to be on a rant today. Thanks. I'm not trying to be. I'm telling you, it frustrates me and it makes me mad when that stuff's being presented to kids. It infuriates me. But it infuriates God too. And you can be in a place where you can actually do good. And it all comes down to you being in tune with God, because there will be questions that will be asked. I didn't know who I was in high school. I would go with whoever would accept me. I was a mod. I wore a trench coat before that was bad to wear at high school. I wore a trench coat and listened to Depeche Mode, and I had my own little group, and I felt very accepted in my little group. I liked my herd, right? They understood me because we all came from the same kind of background. No one understands us. It's us against the world, right? That's when you could smoke cigarettes at the high school. That was my society. And then you had different groups. And I found that because they were the first to accept me. Why do you think people want to feel accepted? Because they need to know that they're loved. And you come from a home that doesn't have any type of love at all at the dinner table, and if there's a dinner table at all, what do you expect them to do? What do you want them to do? If you've only known pain your whole life, you will put pain out. It takes us as responsible as Christians to play the right role and know that most of that is deception, if not all of it at this point. And I listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to look for the fallout. And I'm going to be there to meet a need in someone's life, because that one life could touch 100 lives. And you know what? You're doing it to glorify God, not yourself. That's the difference between Christianity and the things of the world. It's not about money. It's about seeing the Lord move, having fellowship, and knowing that he loves you and that you are worthless without him. That's hard for people to accept. But I know that God loves me, and it's not because I'm perfect. I'm honored to be able to stand up here and preach the word of God to you guys. But there are days the enemy beats me up, and I'm saying it because in my mind there's always that battle. And even though God blesses and he gives, the enemy constantly brings attacks. And I, even as a leader, can sometimes give into that and allow myself to fester things that I know don't glorify him. And so a lot of the times they're things that aren't even true. Why? Because if he can affect me, he can affect a lot of people. Just like if he affects you, he affects a lot of people. But it's also in the reverse. When people fall apart and they know they can come to you, you can speak the truth, but make sure it's God ordained at that moment, not because you feel insecure and you got to prove yourself right. That's not the method. You have to be broken in your heart for people that are suffering. I don't know, when's the last time you realized that God loves you in spite of yourself? I don't know how you don't get emotional about that. For me particularly, it's because I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of. And the fact that he loves me and he told me I'd be a pastor here one day, and so many things said I wouldn't. And then I got to cry in front of you guys. I don't cry unless I'm up here. And it's not because I'm sad. It's because I am blessed. And I don't deserve it. And I don't want to screw this up when I get up here and share with you guys. And it's easy to do. I want you to know the word, and I want you to know God for yourself, so that I am blessed when I see you having an impact in someone's life. And that makes me feel like, you know what, God, you are using me. Because sometimes I don't know. And I'm not saying that I don't need a pat on the back. That's not what this is. I'm telling you, the relationship part grows the more we submit. And the more you submit, the less you get entangled by the things of the world, because you know they don't benefit you, they don't profit you, and you don't feel like you need them. He is enough. That wasn't part of the message. Yes, thank you. I want to encourage you, because that is what we are to do as a church. It's not just my job, it's your job too. To encourage and uplift each other daily. And speak the truth in love. Pray for these kids. And it might come to a point where you got to make hard decisions. Stand up for what you believe in. You can do that kindly. And you know what? That resonates really loud. You know what? They noticed that in that little experiment I was telling you about, when one person said, regardless of what everyone else said, no, that's wrong. It's this one. Others are like, yeah, you're right. We are heard, people. I don't mean to insult you, but it's easier for us to follow than to stand strong. The devil knows that. I think they put that in Paris for a reason, because they want to upset Christianity and blaspheme the Lord. They get two in one. We get to do it twice. We're going to show equality and everything. Well, what does that even mean? One of them's, if your freedom hurts someone else, where do you draw the line? Right? It's not about, It's the Olympics. Just play your sports, right? But see, that even that, everything is affected. So I want to encourage you with this. So if you'd stand with me, I want to leave you with this. Well, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 4 when you go home, because that is good. Read Ephesians 4. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us everything that we need for godliness, Lord. You've given us everything we need to deal with the things that are in the world, and we ask for your strength and your wisdom. And Lord, we ask that we understand that, Lord, we are saved by your grace, and that we are supposed to do everything we can to be at peace with others. And we don't have to give up on what we believe in, but that, Lord, by standing strong and speaking the truth, that, Lord God, we're actually sending out a message. And so, Father, I ask that everyone in this room, including myself, the things that we allow that entangle us, the patterns in our life even, whatever they may be, they may seem good on the outside, but if there are things that entangle us from being effective in the ministry, in the community, in our home, in our own personal life, Lord, expose it. I pray for conviction. I pray for conviction in my life, and not just our body here, but every church in town. Every church in town, every Christian that professes you as Lord and King of Kings, that, Father, that they would be convicted, that we would truly be united, Lord. And we are in so many ways. But, Father, we ask that you would continue your work just as you say you will, that you are faithful to complete the work that you've started, and we're all a work in progress. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that you've given us everything, like it says in your word, that we need to deal with the things at hand. And we can do that with the power of your Holy Spirit that we are sealed with and empowered by to walk in this newness of life, Lord. Let us see the things that are evil for what they are, but let's not them creep into our homes. I thank you for all the kids, Lord. I pray for them. I pray for all those working on this fire and all the things in our community, Lord. I pray that we would be strengthened and encouraged. But, Lord, I also just ask that, Father, your outpouring would fall upon everyone here, that people who are seeking, that are fed up with the world, would see it for what it is. Open their eyes. Open their eyes. Let them know they need you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love, and I thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. May you go and be a blessing and pray and seek him.